Well, I'll give you a quick update on Easter Sunday. Some people have asked about it, and we just had a great time on Easter Sunday. In every service, we had an opportunity for people to move and take next steps in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And in every service, we had a bunch of hands go up saying, yes, I'm taking my next step today to believe in Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And we are so thankful for that. Can we say thank the Lord for that? And some people have asked how many people did we have on an Easter Sunday morning. And we count. We do count. And the reason we count is because we care. We count everything we care about. For instance, most of you probably know what your balance is in your bank accounts because you count your pennies and you assign them properly. Most of you probably know how many children you have because you count them. There are some families here that I'm not sure how you keep up. But most of us know how many kids we have, and so but we count them because we care about them. So every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And so we counted in on Easter Sunday. We had 1,418 people in service at McCord Road Christian Church, and we say praise God for that. Amen. The Lord just keeps adding to His church, and we're thankful and grateful for that. In the next coming weeks, we'll give you some updates on the land and where we're at on that. And it's coming. Everything's coming together. But today we're closing out our series called Yes and Amen. And in this series, we've been talking about God's faithfulness concerning His promises. We discovered that the closer we are to the one that's giving the promise, the more important, the more weight the promise has. People that are far away from us, it doesn't really affect us if they don't keep their word. But people that are very close to us that don't keep their promises, that's a problem in our lives. We also learn that through Christ, all the promises of God are guaranteed to the believer. Guaranteed to the believer. But they must be accepted in humility. We can't demand the promises. We accept the promises in humility. And last week, we discovered that while it is finished, it ain't done. That's good. And there was an ain't isn't debate on Facebook after service. And ain't is right. I don't know who won that debate, but ain't's right. Sort of kidding. But as it ain't done, His work on earth and the rule of sin, the power of sin, was done away with. But God's kingdom was just beginning to really advance on the earth. And today we're going to be looking at how we respond to the promises that are yet to be manifested in our lives. The promise is there, but it's not yet manifested. There are a number of passages that we could talk about. Last week I referenced a particular passage in Philippians chapter 2 where the Bible says at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so that is a process, that is a promise that is going to come to pass but has not yet come to pass. There are people on this planet, there are people in this world who do not bow their knee to Jesus right now. They do not call Him Lord and Savior. And He is not making them do so. It's the choice that they are making in their own lives. The writer continues to follow that with the admonition to respect the Word of God. Don't take it lightly. Respect it and honor the Word of God. Take it seriously. In the closing verses of Revelation, we find another passage of a promise that Jesus is making. Now, in this passage, it's the closing of Revelation. It's also the closing of the canon of Scripture. And John is writing here, and he says in Revelation 22:5, He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, this hasn't happened yet. We know it hasn't happened yet because Jesus had been on the earth, He had died, He had risen again, then He ascended into heaven. And this is a writing after His ascension. So He's in heaven, He's in glory, sitting at the right hand of power, and He's doing what Jesus does, being an intercessor for us. And so all of this is going on, but he hasn't returned to earth yet in physical form. But he says, I'm coming. He says, I'm coming quickly. And so we know that that hasn't happened yet, but it is his statement is responded to immediately by John, who says, amen. And John is giving us kind of a snapshot of how we can respond to the promises of God that are given but are not yet manifested in our life. And our big idea, if you're a note taker in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so. The big idea today is this. The fulfillment of God's promises is to be anticipated. The fulfillment of God's promises is to be anticipated. And if you look at how John and God interact in this moment where a promise is given, we can see how we are to anticipate the promise being manifested. John refers in Revelation 22:20, if you can put the scripture back up there as I break it down a little bit, he refers to he who is faithful. He is the faithful witness. And who is he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the faithful witness. He's referred to as the faithful witness back in John chapter 3. We'll also see later that he was referred to as the Amen in John chapter 3, which we've talked about previous in the series. And so he's specifically talking about Jesus saying these things. And then he says all these things. Well, what things are he talking? What things are he referring to? He's referring to the statements that Jesus makes. He's referring to the writings that have been given under the inspiration or by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's referring to the declarations that are God-inspired. And if you think about it, there are many things that are being said. There are many things that are being written, even in this time, most of which are not specifically God-inspired for all of time. And so he is closing out the book of Revelation. He is also closing out the canon of Scripture. And whether he's referring specifically to simply the book being closed out or talking about the entirety of the canon being closed out, that's up for debate. Either way, he's saying the totality of this is being closed out, and this faithful witness called Jesus, he is witnessing of everything that's being written. Now, when you see that, you have to go back to Peter and understand how the Bible was being put forth, how it was being delivered into the world. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came by the prophet's own understanding. If you read in the book of Daniel, Daniel is writing, and he literally says, and I said to God, this is my paraphrase of it, I said to God, God, I don't understand what I'm writing about here. I don't get it. And God said, because it ain't none of your business. Actually, God probably said isn't, but he said, there's coming a day when there's some people that will live on this earth that will read your writing, and they'll understand it, and that's who I'm really talking to here. So Daniel, you're not going to get it, but they'll get it. So Peter says, it wasn't from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. So John is one of these God-inspired people writing Scripture. And as he is sharing this, he says that this faithful witness to all these things says. Now, he uses that word says, and we're going to geek out on this word for a couple seconds here. But it's important for us to understand the totality of what John's trying to share with us, in my opinion. The word says there is a verb. It means that there's an action involved. And the verb is in present tense, which expresses kind of a linear occurrence or a continuous or repeated action. We won't go look at it right now, but it's kind of reminiscent of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And whenever you study that out in the original, the connotation there is that it is said, let there be light, 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 light. And it's a continual saying of this thing in creation called light. And in this, it says, whatever is about to follow is being said repeatedly according to this word that's being used. And I'll tell you, it's an active voice, it's an indicative mood, it's in third person, and it's in singular. And so I'm telling you all those details about it, not because you have to know every single piece of it, but because I want you to know that this word says is important. And it's indicating something big to us today. Because what I believe it's saying is that a singular faithful witness is really, emphatically, and continuously expressing what's about to be said. What I'm about to share with you. And so what does he share? Jesus says, yes, I affirm this. I agree with this. I affirm it. We know he's the yes, and the in him is amen. So he's saying, I affirm it. And then he says, I am coming. When he says, I am coming, this is also present tense. This is also a continuous or repeated verb. He said, I am coming. And then he says, quickly. And when he says the word quickly, or soon in this translation, the word there, quickly or soon, is not indicating a span of time. It literally means without delay. So it's going to take as long as it takes. But when the right time comes for me to show up, I'm not going to delay my return for any reason. It's kind of like, it reminds me of this morning, getting to church. Christy was ready at a particular time that would have allowed us to leave the house 20 minutes early, but we didn't. In my world, if you're ready 20 minutes early, you get in the car 20 minutes early, and then you have a relaxing drive to church, and you get there and you say hello. But in her world, we get ready 20 minutes early, and then we wait for 20 minutes. And I want to say thank you, because at 7:30 we were in the truck backing up, and 7:30 is the time to go. So we were not late. We were not early. We were right on time. So that's a win. But we weren't delayed. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. I'm coming at the exact right time. So what I believe Jesus is saying here in totality is he's saying, I'm giving you a continual and repeated promise. I affirm what is written. I am coming. I affirm what is written. I am coming. I affirm what is written. I am coming. And he's consistently giving this. Now, when he gives this pronouncement, he is confirming other prophecies given about him. Specifically, we could look at Zechariah, chapter number 14, where the scripture says that Jesus is going to return. And when he does, Messiah is going to stand on Mount of Olives. And when he stands there, the mountain, I don't know how this is going to happen. Maybe it's an earthquake. I don't know. But when he stands there, the mountain is going to be split in two. Part of it's going to go north. Part of it's going to go south. There will be a valley in the middle there. And this is what's going to happen. Well, we know that has not yet occurred. Why? Because if you look at the Mount of Olives, there isn't a big crack in it. And part of it hasn't gone north and south. So how all that works out, I can't tell you exactly. What I can tell you is that it hasn't happened yet. And so Jesus is saying, I am coming. I'm going to continue to fulfill the promises that have been made about me. Now, John hears these words of Jesus. Yes, I am coming soon. And he immediately responds. And he says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, when we launched this series a couple of weekends ago, we did so looking at the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, where the Bible says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. And I shared with you that there are some people who put the weight of that amen in that passage on the believer versus on Christ. And I think that in the original language, this really isn't the believer's amen. This is the amen of Christ, the completion of the promise in Christ Jesus. But I said in the first lesson that there is a place for our amen. A place where we say amen to what God is saying and what God is doing. And what we're talking about today is our amen. This is our amen. John is saying, amen, come Lord Jesus. That's the amen of the believer. And I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this. Our amen aligns our faith with his promise. Our amen aligns our faith with his promise. John says, amen, meaning so be it. What you just said, I want it applied in my life. Let it be so in my life. And it's actually why I don't mind it. In fact, kind of like it when people say amen while I'm preaching. That's a good cue card. I like it because it tells me that what I'm saying is being heard and understood. Now, we all come from different backgrounds spiritually and you know, different church backgrounds. And I come from a church background that is very much built on call and response. And so the preacher says something, sometimes every word that the preacher says, somebody's going to say amen to that or preach that or that's good or wow or something of that nature. It's only a bad thing when they start saying, Lord, help him, Jesus. At that point, we all know, they may not like exactly, or he's really struggling, or wow, you know. So everything was okay until somebody starts saying, help him, Lord. And then it was not as nice. But that level of call and response, that was normal in my world. And I like it because the reason I like it is because whenever you're standing there having a conversation with somebody, if you're telling them what's going on in your life and they go, when people don't have a watch on, sometimes they turn around and look at the back screen just to see what that time clock says. Oh, I see it all from here. It's nice to know that somebody is hearing what you're saying and they're in agreement with you. They're responding with you. And when God is saying, hey, here's the response, here's the promise I'm putting it out to you, we have the opportunity. Do we accept that promise or do we reject that promise? The question is, how will you and I respond to his promise? Now, some of us, we respond with the attitude of, we'll see. You said it, now we'll see. That's no commitment on your part, no commitment on my part. Some of us respond with the attitude of, prove it. That's no faith on our part. But we can say amen to what God's saying, and that aligns our faith with his promise. We're saying, so be it. And you might say, well, I don't even understand how it could be possible. So how can I align my faith with his promise if I don't even see how it could possibly be? That is the point of faith. I don't know how he's going to do everything that he's going to do. I don't know how he's done everything he's already done. I cannot pretend to understand every single part and piece of God and his methodologies, but I can say amen and align my faith with his promise and give him free and full reign to apply his promise to my life. And you can do the same as well. And that brings us to thought number two, that our amen is a lifestyle more than a statement. It's a lifestyle more than a statement. And very quickly, they're going to put another statement up on the screen, and that is this. An amen stated is not equal to an amen lived. So when you're standing at the altar, and you're standing there with your loved one, and they're looking at you, and you're looking at them, and the vows are declared, and you say, I do, most of us would rather the person never say a word, but live out the commitment. Keep your word. Live the life. And so an amen stated is not equal to an amen lived. The reason why Jesus is called the amen in Revelation 3:14 is because his whole body, his whole being is focused on fulfilling what he said, on doing what he was called to do. We're called to live out God's promises. We align with his promise in our life whenever we do what he said. For instance, he said, ask and you'll receive. So that's a promise given. We align with his promise when we ask. He says, if you pray, I'll hear. And so we align with that promise by praying. Some of us gather at 6 o'clock on Tuesday mornings, and we have been for the last couple of weeks. I'll be here this Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. If you want to join us, please do. Enjoy having you. We just pray. The reason we pray is because we believe his promise, and we're simply aligning our life with his promise. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to be here on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. You can pray in your car. You can pray in your house. You can pray in your office. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. But you align your life. You allow his statement, his promise, to become a lifestyle. Your amen becomes the lifestyle whenever you live that statement out. Our alignment with his plan is a lifestyle of amen. When you look at the Apostle John, who wrote this book, his lifestyle, his amen, wasn't just a statement given, amen, come Lord Jesus, but he lived that out. He lived that out while he was exiled on Patmos. He lived that out according to history as he was boiled in oil. He lived that out. The oil didn't kill him, so according to historical record, it didn't kill him. So here he goes, living out the rest of his life. And eventually he did die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, the scripture says. So until Christ returns, we're going to continue to live and to die. And so John finally dies, and you might say, well, what good did it do him if he died anyway? Well, it gave him a life worth living. It gave him a purpose in life, and it allowed heaven to be his home when he stepped from time into eternity. It was a life well lived. His amen was his lifestyle. And that brings us to thought number three, that our amen is the response to Christ's call. It's a relationship that we're in. And all relationships are built on call and response. Every single one of them. If you call your friend and they never respond, how long will you be friends? In our house, we say, I love you. And sometimes I'll say, I love you to Christy. And she will respond with, I love you too. And it's troubling when you say, I love you to someone, and they respond, that's nice. Apparently, Han Solo responded to Princess Leia, when she said, I love you, he said, I know. You'll find yourself a lonely person if that's how you respond to, I love you. And sometimes it becomes such a rhythm in the house, a principle of call and response, that I will find myself at times saying, I love you too, when no one has said, I love you. Because the rhythm of the relationship has been established. And so if Christy's leaving the room and I think she's leaving the house, I'll say, hey, I love you. And if she doesn't say, I love you too, then I will go find her. The same goes with my children. If I say, I love you, and they don't respond with, I love you too, I don't care if they have to turn their car around and drive back to this house and look me in the eye and tell me that they love me. If they want gas in that car, if they want the rights to that car, they will come back here and they will say, I love you too, because there's a rhythm to this thing. Y'all are learning fast. It's what Queen understood whenever they said, we want a more interactive and more intimate relationship with the people in the audience, and so we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, everybody starts getting involved. And everybody, there's a rhythm involved. And y'all lost it. Why'd you lose it? Because the rhythm stopped. I wasn't playing my part. And as long as I play my part, everybody can be involved. But if that part is lost, if it's not played, if the response isn't there, and then the rhythm gets thrown off, and all of a sudden things aren't working like they're supposed to. The student Streetlights had an event here Friday night, and they did the Cupid Shuffle, which I just found out wasn't the Cuban Shuffle. Apparently, that's a whole different thing. And so I said, hey, that's the Cuban Shuffle. And somebody said, it's not Cuban, it's Cupid. Okay. And I don't know how to do it, but apparently it has something to do with this. You kick, and then you spin around and hop different places. I'm a lot of fun at parties, I'm telling you. And so all this is happening. And there was a lot of people that were engaged and involved with it. It was awesome. But then there were a number of people that were not engaged, and they were having conversations, and they were talking to each other about different stuff, and it was all cool and whatever. But every once in a while, they'd be in their conversation, and the rhythm of the music would be going, and every once in a while, they'd stop, and then they'd just pick up where they left off. You know that had nothing to do with their conversation. They're sitting there saying, yes, and you know, we had macaroni and cheese for dinner the other night. The mashed potatoes were really good, though. It's just this. Why? Because there's a rhythm that's going on, that's happening, and every once in a while it captures their attention, and so they respond to the rhythm that's going on. And I know that I'm saying funny stuff, but I'm being affected differently than what I'm saying, because I feel like there's people in this room that are you're missing it. You're supposed to be hearing that whenever it comes to your relationship with Jesus, but for some reason the rhythm is off in your relationship and it's not working. And what John is saying, he's responding with amen, come soon. And what he's saying is in present tense as well. And what he's telling us, in my opinion, what he's saying is Jesus is giving the promise, and that John is responding to the promise, and Jesus is saying, yes, I'm coming soon. And John is responding immediately with, amen, come Lord Jesus. So it's like Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. And John's saying, amen. So I'm coming soon. Amen. I'm coming soon. Amen. And there's this rhythm that's going on, and continual relationship is being built. It's similar to what Jesus did in communion as he set it out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. You're announcing it. So the promise is, I'm coming and I'm going to die for you. And every time we lift up communion before the Lord, we're saying, I know that you did. You did do what you said you would do. So Jesus is saying, I'll die. I died for you. And we're saying, I know you did. So he's saying, I died for you. I know you did. And this is the celebration of something that has already occurred. But John's writing about something that has yet to occur. It's promised, it's fulfilled, but it is yet to be manifested in our lives. And so we're saying, he said, I died for you. We're saying, I know you did. But now he's saying, and I'm coming back. And we're saying, amen. I died for you. I know you did. And I'm coming back. Amen. I died for you. I know you did. And I die, and I'm coming back. Amen. And there's a rhythm that gets established in this. And sometimes when it's hard to hear the voice of God because the cacophony of sound in life, sometimes life is just noisy. It can be so noisy that when you're in a difficult time, it's hard to hear, is God speaking to me? Is God talking to me? Is he going to fulfill the promise that he's made? We find ourselves in a place of frustration and anxiety and fear. And when that happens, the rhythm of life can get off. The rhythm of relationship can be interrupted. Have you ever had a friend that you text on a regular basis every day? And then one day you text, no response. You text, no response. And eventually you start going, well, what's happening? What's going on? Later you find out that their phone broke and they had to get a new phone, and now you're back on rhythm again and everything seems fine and dandy. You never lost relationship, but because the rhythm wasn't there, it felt like maybe that was done and you didn't even know why. And maybe some of you are in this room right now and you're going through a difficult time and you're saying, I'm listening. I'm trying to hear what God's saying, but I just don't know. And I want to encourage you today. Keep your rhythm. When you're in prayer, I know you did. I know you will. Amen. I know you did. I know you will. Amen. And there's something about rhythm that causes people to not be able to stay away from it. I think about Paul and Silas in the prison. The Bible says that they're tied. They're in the inner prison. They're locked inside the inside of the prison. And they're tied up. And nothing happens until they begin to worship. When they begin to sing their songs. And I don't know what song they sang. They might have sang, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. I don't know. But when they established a rhythm in their worship, the Bible says that the place was shaken. All the doors were loosed. Their chains fell off. God responded. They cried. God responded. And I believe wholeheartedly with everything in me. I can't express in words the depth to which I believe this. But I believe that if you will be faithful in your rhythm, I know you did. I know you will. Amen. That eventually through the crazy of the sound of the world, you will hear, I died for you. I know you did. I'll provide for you. I know you will. I'm coming back. Amen. I died for you. I know you did. I'll provide for you. I know you will. Coming back. Amen. One of them we've already seen, and he was faithful. One of them he's doing right now, and he's proven himself faithful over and over. And one of them he is going to do, and there is no chance that he will fail. The rhythm of relationship. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm reaching for somebody in their spirit right now, somebody who's lost hope, somebody who's struggling to hear your voice and to know you on a deeper level. I'm praying right now that as rhythm is established in their world, I pray that you will allow them to hear your repeated promise. Yes, I'm coming soon. Yes, I'm coming soon. Yes, I'm coming soon. And I pray that we would have the courage to align our faith with your promise. To live out our amen through our lives. And to establish our amen in response to your call. To establish the rhythm of relationship with you. You'll never be late. You will be there without delay. I thank you for your promises today, in you, yes, and in you, amen. In Jesus' name. And can everybody say amen? Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Prayer partners, would you come forward? If you need prayer for anything during this closing song, I encourage you, come forward and let us pray with you and see what God will do according to His promise.